Time to Wake to Sleep with Sleep Science Today, where we learn to sleep well with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio.
Welcome to Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky, and on this show, we talk all about sleep and the science behind the things that help you sleep better. Today, we have a special guest. Her name is Shannon Kaiser, and she is a trauma-informed coach and author of 365 Happy Bedtime Mantras. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's so great to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you here. When I say author of 365 Happy Bedtime Mantras, I'm assuming you have an actual book by that title, correct?
I do. Yeah, we got Happy Bedtime Mantras, and it's a whole year's worth of actionable things we can do in the moment to feel better and sleep better.
Fantastic. Great. Where is that book available in case somebody wanted to get a copy?
Anywhere we love to buy books. So bookstores, your online retailers, and of course, my own website as well.
And what is that website?
So playwiththeworld.com, and you just go to books and you can see it there.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you. So I'm sure we're going to be talking about some of the contents of that book as we get into our discussion today. So obviously it's a sleep show, so we're going to be talking about sleep. And I'd love to hear a little bit about your background, what got you into the area of a trauma-informed coach, and how does that translate into sleep issues?
You know, it's really interesting because I've been doing this work for over 15 years, and it started with me being diagnosed with clinical depression in 2009 because I was in a different career, in a corporate career, and it was soul suffocating. It felt very much like it was dog-eat-dog world, lots of competition, and I had a lot of anxiety. And when I got that diagnosis, I started to look inward and go on a healing journey. And I started to write, and my writing became popular, and I wrote books. And I changed my career and realized this is what I want to do. And my first book, called Find Your Happy, was about me learning how to find happiness. And in that experience, I started to teach people that we can find happiness even when we're at our rock bottom. And so that started the career, but it's interesting because I was out teaching happiness and feeling self-love, but my health was disintegrating in the sense that I had chronic bedtime, like I wasn't able to sleep, insomnia, I had chronic muscle pain conditions, and then I found out I had severe sleep apnea, and I also was diagnosed with fibromyalgia. And a lot of it was tied to the stress in my life and unhealed trauma that was unprocessed from my life. And so this became the next evolution of what I do now. Through that process, I became an expert, both from personal experience and the training that I did and the health coaching that I went through, to really understand how our sleep affects everything. If we're not sleeping well, you know, your cortisol and your hormones go up and you can't dream and you can't let your body get to that extended REM state. And so everything else, basically our day is impacted by how we sleep and our mental health as well. And so that really led me to write the book and do all the work I do today.
Wow. Wow. So I just want to dive into that a little bit deeper. So obviously, you were doing a lot of learning about a lot of things through this discovery process you were doing and all the work that you were doing. And how did sleep come up in that? Did you like read some things about it? Did someone talk to you about it? Like, where did it even come from to even think about it?
That is such a brilliant question, you know, because no one's asked me that except for my doctor. At the time, I was actually going in and out of doctors. I almost felt like gaslit by the medical community because they're like, oh, you're fine. We don't see anything. But I'm like, no, I have brain fog. I'm having blurry visions. I don't sleep well. And it wasn't until I went to an integrated medicine doctor that just casually in our very first consultation said, have you ever done a sleep study? And I was like, what do you mean? And they explained sleep apnea to me, which I thought was just like, I didn't know because, you know, I sleep at night and I don't know because I'm asleep. But I went on a trip with my friend who I hadn't seen in a while. And we were in LA together in a hotel, and she had her own room and I had mine in the hotel room. But she's like, oh my gosh, you stopped breathing and you were snoring like no other. And I was like, what? And she's like, wow. I thought you were suffocating. And I didn't know. So if your body, sleep apnea is actually where your body can't like breathe and you're grasping for air, the different is medical, I did a sleep study and they found out that I had severe sleep apnea, which means I wasn't breathing up to like almost an hour each night. I wasn't getting oxygen. Wow. And so I've been on a healing journey to really reverse that, which is wonderful. My mental health is better. I'm able to really talk about it now, but it wasn't, I think to answer your question more succinctly, it was really about not giving up on myself and not just taking what I heard outside. I kept saying, no, I want to find a solution. And I kept leaning into my intuition that led me to the right doctor, to the right sleep study, and the right friend to tell me you should go see someone.
Wow. That's
and you great. Just don't know when that happens. You know, I think a lot of us, when we sleep, we just have no idea. If we're stressed during the day, so many of us don't think, I should look at how I'm sleeping. But the truth is, sleep now is, you know, I was at the bookstore the other day. There's a whole section on sleep that was never there just a couple years ago. That's how important we should be looking at it, like our health as far as fitness and nutrition.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I agree with you 100% on that. And it is true that all of a sudden, and when I say all of a sudden, I mean the last 5 years, 10 years max, I think, concept of sleep has started to become something that people are first thinking about, you know? And I don't think anybody thought about it before. And look, the whole concept of sleep science is only around since really the 1970s. That's pretty recent when it comes to medical issues and things. And, you know, your story about learning about sleep apnea, it's kind of funny to hear it because it's so similar to me. I was, you know, younger and single, and I went to, where did we go? I went somewhere with a group of friends. And so we, you know, shared a hotel room to save on costs. And I wake up the next morning and these other guys are looking at me and they're staring at me. And I'm like, what is the problem? And they said, do you realize that you like stopped breathing so many times last night? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
And I had no idea. And then I went to a sleep doctor and sure enough, sleep apnea.
It changes everything, right? Once you know, how did you start feeling the next day? Or, you know, once you get into the process, it's like, oh my gosh, this, you know, it's like your whole world changes because you're able to, at least for me, more mental clarity. I was more productive then. But when you're asleep, you don't know what's happening, right? You're asleep.
Right.
Sort of.
Right. You would have no reason to know that you have sleep apnea in terms of the fact that you're not going to hear yourself snoring. You're not going to know that you're not breathing. You're asleep as far as you know.
Yeah. And I think to your point, I absolutely love your podcast and what you're doing too, because it is such an important topic, but more importantly for our own life, we don't know what we don't know. And I think sometimes I was so used to not sleeping well, and to have a baseline and a foundation where you wake up with muscle pain or you wake up multiple times in the night, or you never really get to that. I didn't remember my dreams for like over a decade. And now my dreams are so rich and vivid and they are just really, I know that my body's getting deep rest, and to know that you're living at almost a survival state and you just think that's normal. It's really about understanding we are capable of more. Our bodies really do want more for us. And so being on that health journey, being like a supporter, you know, being your own kind of like, I'm going to really show up for myself is part of the health journey, right?
So that kind of leads me to sort of the bigger question. And the bigger question is this. Now that people are aware of sleep as part of, you know, something that they pay attention to, people are finding out in many cases that they're not sleeping well. So what's going on there?
There's so many layers to this too. Obviously, we have our personal within our own body. You know, maybe there's certain different chemical things going on or hormonal things, you know, you know, especially women in my age, you know, middle perimenopause is happening a lot, right? But there is also the world right now. And I think a lot of us aren't recognizing as much how much the outside world is in really impacting our internal state, whether it's the news cycle or something that's happening in your community or our relationships. A lot of times we don't realize how our personal relationships are really affecting us and causing stress. It really comes back to stress. And if we're not having the healthy tools or the regulation to process that stress and to really kind of bring in self-care and self-love, what happens is when you kind of put your head in bed and you're finally like, ah, I'm in bed. Okay, the night's done. Either the brain goes into full rumination, you know, of all the things that didn't happen right during the day or all the things out in the world that I feel helpless about and we're going to explode. Or the somatic experience in your body where your body finally says, oh, I can relax, but it doesn't feel safe yet. So there's a whole experience there that's happening. So what it really is a mind, body, spirit, so to speak, or I like to say your environment, your spiritual self and your emotional self are really part of what are keeping us from sleeping so well.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So if that's the case, then would it be accurate for someone to say, well, that's just me. I mean, that's just the way I'm wired and that's how it is. So I just have to accept that. Or is there something that someone can actually do about that?
That's such a beautiful question because I think it comes back to the type of, I think we're all on a growth journey and we're all on like a path of learning more. But sometimes life does beat us down into a space of feeling like, well, nothing ever works out for me, or, oh, well, this is just what I, you know, this path, it runs in the family. And we kind of throw up our hands and just surrender, but it's not even a surrender. It's like a, I give up, this is it. And I would encourage anyone who's in that space to really know that there is always better than before. Mm-hmm. And so when you can tap into that little inspiration and that little insight of, no, this isn't all it's going to be. Even when I got the diagnosis of the severe sleep apnea and fibromyalgia, they said this is a chronic muscle pain condition that's going to happen and stay with you for the rest of your life. And when I heard that, in my internal mindset, I said, I'm going to do everything I can to heal this and cure this. And I haven't had a fibromyalgia flare in over almost 3 years now. Huh. And that's huge. And I'm sleeping better now and I'm reversing that severe score. And the reason why is because I'm choosing to focus on health versus on, well, this is all it's going to be. And so it really is a mindset first. And once we get to that mindset, possibilities start to open. The right doctors, you listen to the right podcast, you start to see the right book at the bookstore. It's a mindset shift. And once you shift in that place, everything else can follow.
Wow. Wow. So obviously there were some concrete steps and things that you took to start making that change. And I know, you know, later on, we're going to get into specific solutions and things that people can use. But so, you know, beyond just educating yourself about the topic and the subject matter, it sounds like you found some concrete things that were doable that other people could probably use as well.
Yeah. And I think you're nailing it. It first is education. Cause if we just jump into solutions without really fully understanding, sometimes it's futile and it falls to the wayside. I'm a why person anyways. I like to know why things are, but not everyone is. They just want solutions. And so that's also what I've put in my book. It's like a daily 365 days of different strategies and different easy things you can do right before bed to help you calm yourself. And so one of the things that I looked at is my life. As a life coach, I like to look at everything kind of connected. And so I looked at my relationships. I realized I had a lot of relationships that were really stressing me out. I am a recovered people pleaser, and I didn't even know I was a people pleaser, but I was overgiving just about to 95% of my relationships. And they were a lot of people taking advantage of me and not really reciprocating that. So I'd go to bed at night thinking, what's wrong? How do I have to work harder? And that's a lot of emotional energy. So looking at relationships, but more importantly, I also looked at my lifestyle as far as health and what I'm eating. A lot of the times, and there's a lot of science behind the foods that we eat, I went to an anti-inflammatory diet because a lot of times foods that kind of make you more inflamed, they sit in your belly at night. I also started to adjust and play with, I looked at it like an experiment, call it the self-love experiment, if you will, self-care. I started to look at the fasting schedule as far as not eating past like a certain time at night, maybe 7 o'clock, tried 8 o'clock. Now it's closer to like 6 o'clock or five. And I sleep so much better. Huh. Whereas, you know, sometimes, you know, if you eat a big meal right before bed, oh man, bloated, you know, tossing and turning, the whole body's trying to digest. So for me, that works well. I am really a really cheerleader for people finding what works for them, but we have to try before we subscribe to a certain thing. So I'm giving solutions that are part of the health journey, and you know, science backs it up, but it's more or less just experiment. Say, does this work for me? Kind of like some people are vegans because it works for their bodies, and some people actually need meat and protein. It's not one size fits all ever.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Wonderful. Okay, so I like the big picture here, and I'm gonna come back. We're gonna take a break here, but after we come back from the break, I want to find out about what happens to us neurologically that prevents our deep restorative sleep that we so need. But before we answer that question, we're gonna take a commercial break, and we'll be back in just a minute on Sleep Science Today.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at ukhealthradio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
The Sleep Science Today radio show is just the beginning. Join a community of people interested in sleep using the social media links in the description below. We offer everything from a free sleep support group to live meetup Q&A sessions and events to a Facebook group and so much more. Sleep Science Today is making sleep a participation sport. If you're not signed up, you're missing out.
All right. Welcome back to Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. And we were just about to answer the question about what happens neurologically that prevents us from getting that restorative sleep that we need. We're talking with Shannon Kaiser. Shannon, The floor is yours.
So good. So good to continue this conversation, because a lot of times we don't know or think about, you know, the neurological pathways in our brain are keeping us up at night. It's the overthinking, the ruminization of that conversation, you know, that didn't go so well, or the stress from the relationships. And so what happens in the brain is there's actually neural pathways. Now, I am not a scientist or, you know, a clinical psychologist. I am a trauma-informed coach who has personal experience in this and worked with researchers and psychologists. So that's where that's coming in. But I have worked with, you know, different studies that really focus on the neuroplasticity in our bodies and brains. And what happens is so let's just take what we were talking about before there. If somebody is like, well, it runs in my family, that's it. That's it. And so we kind of give up on ourselves. That's actually also a neuroplasticity, where it's kind of like there's brain connections and pathways. If you think of a ski slope, and if a thought goes through that process enough times, it gets rutted. And it's a lot harder to get out of that rut if you're a skier or a snowboarder. Whereas what happens when you start to create these stronger mental connections and pathways, and we do that through looking at the beliefs that we have, through understanding there's different processes before you go to bed that can help you feel safer, like somatic exercises where I'm safe in my body. Mantras are such a powerful way. That's why I wrote the whole book of a whole year's worth of mantras that just recalibrate. It's almost like the little Zamboni thing or the snow blower goes over it and makes it more powdery and connects it to a truth versus a fear. And it's as simple as saying, like, I sleep well, I am safe in my body, versus I'm so worried I'm not going to get a good night's sleep again tonight. That's fear. And so you just connect in. And when your brain starts to kind of heal those, it affects the whole body. Your brain is connected to your gut and your heart. It's all connected. And so it really is a process of honoring your body too, which is wonderful.
Great. Great. Wow. Okay.
A lot of science there, right?
Right. And I'm, you know, as we're talking, I'm kind of thinking big picture of all sorts of things going on here. And, you know, it brought me back to what you said a little while ago before the break, also how you found out for yourself as you were on your own journey that you were this people pleaser. And so obviously boundary issues, I guess you were letting people step over your boundaries and things. And so that led to sleep issues because you're sitting there trying to think it all through. I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that. So, you know, that was preventing their deep rest. And what did you specifically do to start getting past that part of it?
I love that you're asking about this, because I think a lot of times we don't realize how much our mental health is impacting our sleep. And so, for example, I didn't even know what the word like boundary was. I was literally just existing of just overextending, because at the time I was operating from what is considered like a trauma response. I was living my life through a condition that I learned I have to achieve, please, or give in order to get love. So the very first thing is to recognize what is keeping you up at night. And for me, it was a very toxic, abusive, emotionally, psychologically abusive relationship that I had never had insomnia before, but it was keeping me up all night. And I started to think, what's happening here? And it's because there was a disconnect between that person of what they said and what they did, and the mind games and the tactics. So I started to journal. I couldn't sleep. So I would say, if you're in this state, instead of getting mad or trying to force yourself to sleep, start to journal what you're feeling, what you're thinking. And then I turned to research. I started to go to psychology.com. I started to find books. And that led me to really start working with a therapist who is a trauma-informed therapist. And in this process, I started to do inner child healing. And I realized, wow, I do need to put boundaries in. And I have a lot of people who don't value me. So what does that mean? I need to value myself. I'm going to put myself on a program where I my health is number one, which means if there's people in my life that make me feel like I am not adding, like if they don't value me, then I have to cut them out. So it's no contact, you know, it's boundaries. You can't always go non-contact with people. But for me, it was, instead of thinking, how can I make others happy, or how can I show up and be, you know, the best, nicest person, it changed to a priority of my health is my number one priority. And that's what led me to the sleep study. That's what led me to changing my diet. That's what led to writing the books on how we can reframe, because we do matter and our sleep matters. And then all of a sudden I started sleeping better. It starts with not resisting it though. You know, you have to really allow it and then you can transform it. And as soon as I removed the toxicity, whether it was the relationships or the foods I was eating, I slept like a baby again. It was amazing.
Wow. Wow. So is that where the idea of this particular book came from and the mantras, or when did that kind of fit into the story?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's interesting because it was just about 3 years, 2 years after kind of all of this had happened. And I wrote a book several years ago, early in my career, called Find Your Happy Daily Mantras. And it's such an uplifting book and has done really well. And my publisher, Beyond Words, came to me and said, you know what? We are actually in a sleep epidemic. And it was after kind of the world shut down and everyone was processing, the epidemic and pandemic. And they said, you know, we need to address this. And we think you, of all people on the planet, are the best person to write it because we want to do nightly mantras. And I said, absolutely. Did you know? You know, I'm on the phone call with them. I said, did you know? And I had literally 6 months prior been diagnosed with the sleep apnea. And I was on a personal healing journey of shifting that. And they were like, oh my gosh, we had no idea. That makes so much sense. So it wasn't just me, you know, life coach writing about mantras. It was, I have real life experience now that is qualifying to put in this book. And I think the thing about this book I want to share, we are living in a time where it is so overwhelming. Even reading a book, you know, like going to the bookstore, I mean, I think we're used to instant. We want, you know, the fast results, the audiobook snippets. This book was designed to meet us there. You can open up to any page and get like a quick excerpt or a mantra or a solution. It's designed to work with you with where you are. And people have been like, oh, it's like a breath where I feel better in the moment. And sometimes that's all we need to just catch ourselves, because there is so much fear and collective angst right now. And a lot of times we pick that up and we don't know. As empathic, intuitive, you know, we're all humans here in the same experience. We feel that. And so it's really about recalibrating your own center and feeling better. And it's transformed my life, you know, and I love sharing this book with loved ones and readers, because they're, somebody wrote, well, I think it was an early reviewer, and they said, well, I haven't slept, something along the lines of, I haven't slept for more than 4 hours in over like 5 years. And I got your sample book and I slept all through the night. So I think it's working, you know? So it's just little wow. things like that. I thought that was the best review on the planet, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very nice. That must have been really nice to hear.
Yeah. So it really came about by a collection of collaborating with a publisher. And, you know, it's really nice. It's really nice though, because it's when we go to bed, I approach this in writing this book, what is keeping us from sleeping well? Mm-hmm. Well, it's our environment. And there's a lot of science on what can improve your environment. Science really says a cool environment, a dry environment. Sometimes people like ambient sounds. Some people like it very silent. And so finding a texture, if you're a highly sensitive person, maybe the sheets that you're sleeping in, they might affect how you sleep. And, you know, neurodivergent people, we have different experiences and sensory. You want to make sure your environment feels almost like a sanctuary. And that's going to also help you feel better. As you fall asleep, you feel safer.
Okay. So we're talking about, you know, highly emotional people. So what about in the case of they have an emotional conflict and now they're trying to get to bed and it's not happening? Is there something different going on for them than for someone else?
I think for sure, no matter what, when we have conflict, whether it's emotional with relationships or something that's happening in our bodies somatically or chemical imbalance, no matter what, it all comes back to stress and a heightened level of cortisol and a heightened level of I can't feel safe in my body. And so what happens is the brain is overworking. But yes, so there is that connector. But yes, to your point, there's also this idea of if you're thinking about perhaps an emotional kind of experience because of a person, a lot of times we're thinking it's not going the way we want. And so there's a control from, put my life coaching hat on here. A lot of times that's like, I thought it's about expectations. I thought it was going to go one way, but the person said something or did something that was different, or the experience isn't unfolding the way I thought, or it's just causing me, for example, as someone who didn't really know that I was in relationships where they were just taking, not giving. It was about learning how I can be stronger in my own life and show up more fully. But there are tools in the book, such as, for example, if you're in conflict with someone, there are a lot of things you can do right before bed, sometimes as simple as taking a warm bath with some essential oil that calms the whole system, and just maybe thinking about how could I put myself in their shoes and see things differently. You know, empathy is a huge skill that we can just soften a little bit. Sometimes it's who do I need to apologize for or to, and call that person this week, you know, and there's little activities like that in there. And there's also journal to your younger self. What do you need to forgive yourself for? And sometimes you see how that's connected to the current moment. So it's also like a balancing of, you know, rituals. And I lead retreats, self-love retreats, and I brought a lot of those tools into the process because these are the things that help me sleep better at night.
Right, right. Wow. Okay. So, you know, ultimately, it sounds like, well, number one, we're all seeking restorative sleep when we go to bed. That's the whole purpose of going to sleep, right? But many of us aren't getting it. And it sounds like in this particular case, what we're talking about, many people aren't getting restorative sleep because when they go to sleep, they're not feeling safe. They're feeling overextended. They're feeling emotionally drained. And so I'd love to hear more about how the brain functions in that situation and what might be the blocks that are preventing us from getting that deep sleep that we need, the restorative sleep that we crave. But before we do that, you know the drill. We got to take a commercial break, and then we'll come back and answer that question with Shannon Kaiser. So stay tuned on Sleep Science Today.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you're having trouble sleeping and you need support, don't go it alone. Join us at our free online support group at sleepsupportgroup.com. Just put in your email address, sign up for the list, and you will be notified of all of our upcoming meetings. It's free, so why not try it out? All right. Welcome back to Sleep Science Today. I'm your host, Andrew Kolsky. We were just about to answer a question Shannon, tell us about why we can't get this restorative sleep when we got all these other things going on in our head.
Man, that brain, it works hard, right? It works overtime. And I think that's what we want to recognize is we are not our brain and we are not our thoughts. And when we really can separate that first and foremost, you know, I come at this from kind of a mental health capacity. There are other areas, though, that impact our sleep. And sometimes it is something that's happening within your body. And so that's where we start to tune into our intuition. It's that inner voice that says, maybe I should see the doctor because this isn't right, right? It's kind of like I had a lot of brain fog and I had a lot of chronic muscle pain. And I would always feel it when I woke up. I'm like, you're supposed to feel better when you wake up, not in more pain. And so listening to your body and the body clues you have throughout the day can help you understand how you're sleeping. In order to get more more deep restorative sleep, we really want to aim for that deep REM. And that is the state where you get to access and remember your dreams. I talk to a lot of people in my practice, in my one-on-one embodiment coaching mentor practice, and they come to me at first and they say, I don't remember my dreams. No, not at all. A lot of times it's because we have experiences in our life, even trauma. Some people are like, I don't remember my childhood. It's a childhood brain protecting you, but also there's trauma that happens in our life. And when we hear the word trauma, sometimes it's like we think big life things like natural disasters and these like really hard abusive situations. And those are very real for many people, but it's also someone betraying you, cheating on you. It's also, you know, someone basically, you know, racking up your credit card and not paying you back, or a friend who lies to you. These can happen daily without us even knowing. So looking at where you're being split in your energy, meaning I feel betrayed, I feel stuck, I feel like life is happening to me versus I'm able to be in control of what's happening, is really what happens when we put our head to the pillow. And so it does really look at our mental health. And, you know, October is mental health. It's like awareness, and there's like a anti-bullying month or anti-bullying week. And I think sometimes we are the biggest bully in the world to ourselves. We tell ourselves we're not good enough. Oh, I am not worth it. Or why should I even try for that job? Yeah, right. I'm not qualified. There are so many times in my life where I had that voice and I decided to push through anyways. And I'm so glad I did, because it has transformed my career, my life. I got the publishing deal, even though I thought I wouldn't, or whatever it may be. And so when we look at it, like, where am I bullying myself? That's a small, subtle shift that we can start to say, wow, if my friends talked to me like this, would I still be friends with them? You know, so what are you saying to yourself right before you go to bed about yourself and other people, and start to shift that to a more compassionate, kind, thoughtful voice.
Right, right. So, you know, this conversation so far is all about, you know, our own recognition of things that we are doing that are impacting our own sleep, our own life, our own boundaries, etc. What we haven't talked about is codependency. Where does that fit into this picture?
Brilliant, because a lot of us are codependent on just the world we live in. It's also, a lot of us grow up in families where you learn that dynamic. And codependency is also being, you know, in traditional psychology, it's like being in a relationship with an addict, and you kind of feed and work in that supporting of nurturing them, but really enabling. But the way we're talking about it here is anything that you feel you can't really live without, or you're just dependent on it, it becomes almost a clutch in your life, whether it's, I need this before I go to bed, it becomes a habit, or I have to be in this relationship because I don't know how it's going to be on the other side, but this relationship is harmful or it's hurting me. That's a sense of codependency, because it enables us, and I look at it as anything that takes us away from our own power. We feel disempowered. And so I love that you brought this up too, because we have been talking about a lot of what we can do, and it's not about self-blame, and it's not about like, oh, I am the one, I'm in this position because of me. It's not at all that. It's just about being self-reflective. And there are things out in the world that we're codependent on that we don't even realize, like, you know, the AI technology is growing, and the rapid pace of the news cycle and how we're relating to people. You know, if you're out in public and everyone's on their phone, we're missing that human connection. I truly, truly believe that so many of us are not sleeping well and anxious all the time. And, you know, the depression rates are so high, insomnia is so high. 1 in 3 people are not sleeping well at night because we've lost our humanity of feeling, touching, being with people, being in nature. And so I really invite all of us to start to bring that back, whether it's like a digital detox, you know, take off and don't have your phone on, you know, when you're talking to people, go into nature more. This has really helped me sleep. And in the book, I talk about how nature can help us. It has, you know, the earth itself has natural and energy, magnetic kind of rhythm. And the circadian rhythm matches the moon cycles. When we get back to that, just think of our ancestors. We want to get back to our roots, really, instead of getting further away from who we are. And when you do that, you really do sleep like a baby.
Right. You know, I'm listening to that part of it because I'm you know, listening for actual solutions of things. And you talk about digital detox and getting in touch with nature. And I'm just sort of scanning my own brain and my own situation. And I think about that because my phone, you know, with the texting and the call, it's nonstop. Just, I mean, literally, I just put it in airplane mode because enough. I'm tired of hearing this thing going off. And then taking a walk in nature, the idea is to separate from all the technology. And so turning the phone off, I find myself, you know, my brain is still craving. It's like, well, what if you're missing an important call? What if you didn't get that, you know, text? Maybe you didn't remember the calendar reminder that would have come. And even in the daytime, with the intent of trying to get away, I find it to be really challenging.
Yeah.
Give us your solutions to all these things.
You're not alone. Absolutely. And I do believe that that's actually what has happened. We've been conditioned and almost trained, kind of programmed into this. It's like we've been on a conveyor belt of getting us more distracted from ourselves. And so it's a lot like, speaking of codependency, and if that word feels like hard or triggering, it's okay. Reverse it or say another word like dependent, right? That's really what it is. I'm dependent on my phone. I didn't realize. And what I love about what you shared, this happens for so many of us. And the first thing is to recognize, oh, wow, there might be an addiction here, an addiction to my phone or an addiction to something that does this really serve me. And that's a process I went on to when I really started to look at my relationships and realize, oh, I need boundaries. I was the person who texted right away, right back, all the time. People would show up at my door, like without knocking, or they would knock, but without me knowing they're coming. I'm like, come on my couch. And I was like a life coach to all my friends and family. That is not good, but that's what I thought I was supposed to be, right? And that was very unhealthy for me. It put me in the hospital on an emergency bed. So I recognized. Now I sometimes take 1-2 days to get back, and it's a boundary. I literally will see that a text came through, but I'm like not in the space to honor the full presence that I want to give. So I make sure that I am that space. And so what you do is you start to look at, how can I exist in the world that really allows in the daytime, that allows me to feel more sovereign and free? Do I feel expansive or do I feel chained to something? If you feel chained, like I have to have it, it's like, that is taking you out. So when we talk about the solutions, it's as simple as putting your, you know, you hear it a lot, and I don't always do it either because my cell phone is my alarm clock. And sometimes I do sleep meditations and have apps before I go to bed, which are very great if you want music, or there's a lot of calming apps as a solution. But mm-hmm. To technically put it in sleep mode and put it in another room or at least across the room. There's electromagnetic rays that kind of come through. There are different things you can put around the electromagnets, like shogunite stone, or there's different products, different technologies that block the rays, but that's a lot. You're buying a lot of stuff on top of stuff. So when we're getting down to the very simple thing, solution is to keep your room dry and science says cooler, you know, a little bit cooler. And then also the fabric you're using, make sure it's something that works for you. Is it cotton? Is it, you know, is it like silk? Like that helps because it's a sensory experience. But then when we talk about the actual space in your room, look at it. House plants provide a lot of natural energy. You bring earth inside. And then also the light that you're using, have it a dim light as you go to bed. So it's not that big overhead light. Another tool that I like to share with people I do this in my coaching practice. Sit at the end of your bed before you go to bed and just like put your hands towards the floor, resting. And as you do that, you're actually, everything's energy and you're just pulling out, like it's almost like when you meditate, you put your hands up facing the sky. That's like a receiving pose. But when you just turn your hands to the ground, people are amazed that they actually feel, like if you were to do it right now, it's like, I feel a pull. And what's happening is you're just releasing the energy that's gone through you to the day. That's a very somatic, energetic release. And so those are some quick solutions. And also, some people like to say, you know, pets on the bed, pets not on the bed. I'm a big pet on the bed person because it helps me sleep well. But other people, they say no pets on the bed. So what you want to do is just listen to your body and listen to what works for you.
Right. Wow. Okay, that's a great list of options there. Yeah, the pet on the bed thing is a really interesting one because I happen to have a cat where I am, and my cat will sleep at the foot of the bed. Fine with me, but you know,
yeah.
You read some studies that say, oh, don't have your pets in the bed for all these various reasons. But I think that's a personal thing, like you said. You know,
yeah.
You have to decide what's right for you.
And I think with everything we're sharing, it really does come back. And here's the beautiful, wonderful magic of all this. When you do come back to what's right for me, you find a sleep solution package or ritual, if you will, that really works. You know, my nightly routine includes, I was talking to a friend the other day and she takes showers and baths in the morning and I take them at night, sometimes in the morning, but it is so nice to go to sleep clean. So part of it is as soon as I take that hot bath, I also put lavender oil in there and salt. So that's part of the relaxing of the body. I listen to soft music, meditation music. I like to pray, you know, thank you. It's a gratitude. Thank you for a beautiful day. Journal on what I'm thankful for. I get into bed and my mind is already calm. And I thank my sheets. I literally give myself a blanket burrito and wrap myself in my bed, the blanket burrito. And I say, oh, I love you, bed. I'm so glad to be here. And I just kind of send love to my family. And, you know, it's just like a loving experience. And then I like to set intentions. I hope I have a good dream tonight and get guidance in my dreams. And then I wake up with some clear steps on insights that came through, and I feel recharged and well rested.
Fantastic. Well, we are actually out of time for today's show. So before we go, would you mind showing us the book one more time and remind us of the title? It's
365 Happy Bedtime Mantras is the book, and it's a wonderful easy book that just allows you to just get into the moment and feel better. It also has a side of, there's a card deck. If you're into just pulling a card, I designed the cards and they're different mantras and different tools. You know, some people like to share with their family different tools. That's a good one you could do with partners and loved ones. So it's a fun, easy coffee table book or nightstand book, of course. And you can find that on playwiththeworld.com or any bookstore retailer that you love. And I'm on social media. It's Shannon Kaiser Writes.
Oh, wonderful. Great. Well, thank you. And as a reminder to my audience, in addition to that, if you're looking for additional help with sleep issues or you just want to join some clubs to do some fun activities related to sleep, all you need to do is visit sleepsciencetoday.com. And we got a whole list of options and opportunities for you there. So make sure you do that as well. And we look forward to seeing you on our next show of Sleep Science Today.
Thank you for listening to Sleep Science Today and learning how to sleep better with your host, Andrew Kolsky, on UK Health Radio. For more information on how you can achieve better sleep, go to sleepsciencetoday.com. Remember, Sleep Science Today and sleep better tonight.